You know, as and I probably said this before, God is, to me, is a reset. When you start going down the rabbit hole of the ladder of illusion, just use that as a reset and realize that's the truth. If you're talking ultimate truth, then God is. You have no lips to speak. You have no ears to hear. You have no sufficiently separate part of the mind to conceptualize of God being separate from you. So therefore, God is. It's a nice reset when you get confused. It's not very helpful, as the Holy Spirit is, in getting you out of the dream, because the Holy Spirit is designed to hit you on the level that you believe you're at and start making sense out of what you've created the nonsense out of.
And I like that God is present tense. It's the present moment only.
There you go.
And I think the Holy Spirit is to correct my wrong thinking, my wrong beliefs. It isn't really to tell me what my right beliefs should be. It's just saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong.
Well, he'll...
It shows a different perspective, and which is the right perspective. So Holy Spirit will know where and a wrong will help us go into the right mind to see another perspective.
The only time I've ever had a complete never perspective is when I didn't do anything. I gave up what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just sank into nothingness. I didn't feel like I was existent at all. And the Holy Spirit sent me to a different place.
Yeah.
For a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And then my ego got in there and got in the way.
It comes in quick, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. I only got that feeling for a split instant before it was gone, and I've been mourning its loss ever since.
as soon as you hop in and say, wow, this is great, I've made it.
Immediately off track.
Immediately off track. Yeah.
Well, just even that it's great, I want more. I mean, one experience that was just like that, you know, I wanted, no, don't end, you know. So I wanted to have it go further, deeper, but I got at least that one holy instant.
And that desire, again, is what pulls you out of it.
My ego said, you didn't ask for this. And as soon as it said that, it was gone.
Ah, yeah. It has.
What I got was just white light, pure love running through me and everywhere around me. And that's all I had. And the ego popped up and said, you didn't ask for love. You were sending it.
Yeah, I think at one point you said, I can't remember, but having, being, giving, and receiving are all the same. Mm-hmm. So you have to have it to give it. And you almost have to feed it.
Fact.
Huh?
That is 7 in the book, that giving and receiving proves that you have it.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
You guys are chatting along. Hope it was all good stuff.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I tuned in. You say having and being are the same. That's a high teaching. That's a high teaching. Having and being. When those two are equated, doesn't that make you think? That it makes you go into, you know, what am I? And according to this book, your being is the only thing you could actually have. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, look at something on in your room. Just pick any object. Just look at it. You could walk over and touch it, couldn't you?
My dream says I can.
You could pick it up, push it over, you know, touch it. But if I say, put your hand on your being, it's not in this dimension, folks. You who would make the choice to touch your being, like you would touch your pencil or whatever it is you picked out, could not complete my request in this dimension. According to the Course, It is the only thing that you can't deny is your being, what you actually are. So there's the rub. According to this book, we're on quite the journey into the invisible. To do that, to be able to leave behind the senses of the eyes, the ears, the touch, all the proof that this world provides, is the challenge that I'd be putting on the table. Certainly, all your life before Course in Miracles, the world was busy proving to you the existence of material objects and your identity as one of them and how to make your life better by navigating this material world better. Get more money. Get smarter. Get some education. Meet up with good people. Good counsel. Get healthier.
Have a better relationship.
Have a better relationship, and then you'll win. Yes, Luann. Hang on a second. Let me get your mute if you haven't already got it. Okay, go for it.
So, I need an appointment on Monday. I know I'm not supposed to have one, but I need one because I was reading Lesson 93, and just a few words in there popped out at me, and it made me sick at my stomach. I mean, I got punched in the stomach.
Oh, excellent.
Well, it's still there a little bit, so I don't know.
Journal on that. Make notes, and we can meet on that.
I already did. I made note.
All right. Might have to be Wednesday, but still, I can make it.
Wednesday is okay with me, too.
Yeah, it was a holiday. Apparently, I have to go party.
Monday is a holiday? No, it isn't.
Isn't Monday a holiday?
What is it?
Labor Day.
No, Labor Day.
Not supposed to. What?
Labor Day isn't until the following week.
Oh.
Following Monday.
Oh, okay, great. All right.
Labor Day is the 5th, this coming Monday.
It's this coming Monday.
Okay, I'm a week behind.
Wow, look at that information flowing in from what looks like different minds who coalesced on a single purpose. This is the power that we're actually missing in with the healed mind, where we would help each other from the different facets that we have. You have some of it here in relationship. You know, we cooperate. We all have nothing to lose and only to gain with each other. But imagine if you were truly connected in your essence, in your being. Different. The same, but different.
I was born on Labor Day, and tomorrow is my birthday. So I keep thinking that this coming Monday after my birthday is Labor Day. But I keep thinking now because it's not Monday. I'm confused.
All right, well, we'll sort that out.
But it's okay that I'm confused.
What would it take to go from this absolute easy proof that you are a body? I got this new injury here. It doesn't look bad now, but man, I got this new injury just a half an hour ago. A moving log in a non-moving crane post.
Oh.
My arm in the middle.
Oh, dear.
Oh. I did have to pause and breathe a few times. I don't mean, yeah, the body. Yeah. Proof. Got all my attention. All my attention. It's like, oh, you know, I didn't even want to look at it. How bad is it? I just had to breathe a little bit before I looked at it. This is the dimension that you're in, quickly and consistently proves that you are a body and that you better compete so that you can be a happy body, a comfortable body, a healthy body, sleep well, et cetera, et cetera. What would it take to go from this instant proof, like my injury or your hunger or your sciatica or whatever it is that you have, it reminds you that you're a body from time to time. Maybe it's your grandkids coming up and hugging your leg, or the first time that they reach up and grab, they can only grab one of your fingers because their hands are so small. Oh my God, doesn't that melt you? Whoa, is that what it is that brings you in to further into and appreciating and believing the body?
All kinds of things.
All kinds of things. All kinds of things. What would it take for you to get off of that train? Vision, feeling, sound. It's so personal being a body. I mean, man, it's just, it's really personal and immediate. Okay, the answer.
Well, I got an idea.
Well, Todd, Kenny, what?
The ego's going to speak first. As I, when people said the 5th was Labor Day, and I saw judgment on each one, and now I get to forgive each one. So when we forgive, truly forgive, then it bounces back. I don't have to prove anything.
Don't have to prove anything.
Yeah. So I got to remember, I have, better than remember, I have to believe
that's
that
it.
I am sinless.
That's it.
If I can believe I'm sinless first, I can see other people the same way.
Boy, that's it, Kenny.
That's the easy one and the hard one. It's sad, and it's okay.
And it's such a huge benefit if you pull it off.
Yeah.
Media.
Bridget's my teacher.
Oh, she's good.
Oh, yeah. Especially when we're working on a project.
Yeah, Bridget's a little kind of smart. And that's a problem. She's smart and she's strong, and she's going to give you a run for your money.
We do.
Yeah.
I know who I am. I can't speak it to you.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. See that? That little knowing that you don't have words for. This is what I'm talking about. A Course in Miracles does put a word on that. That little knowing that you can't speak about, but it is in you, and it is simultaneously beyond appearances. It's quite invisible, but it's quite certain. A Course in Miracles uses the word trust to describe that little knowing that is actually a journey beyond words. You recognize words are necessarily a limit. As soon as you use one, it's derived from a Greek word, that, and then it went into French, and then finally made it to English, and then you learned it, and I learned it at a different age, so it kind of means something different to the two of us. Oh, my God. Words. But what you're talking about is a certainty beyond words. Of course, calls it a journey beyond words. That's what you're taking. You have to. Words are too limited. They're too specific. So that little invisible, that bridge, this trust, not a trust in anything particular. If you try to do that, then you've engaged your analytical mind and you're back in the ego. You're back in the spiritual ego at best, where you're looking for some really good answers that you could share. It's nice. But it doesn't have the depth of what Kenny said, which is, I can't tell you. I know it, but I can't say it. That's a good surrender, Kenny. That's open-mindedness. That's willingness not to know. Those are fighting words for the ego, to not know. Real quick, turn to page 660 in the text. It's right just 19 pages before the text says, we're done, let's start the workbook. So it's kind of interesting that you're going to find this at the end of the text. Turn to page 660 and look at this little summary of your challenge as a Course in Miracles student. But by the time you get here, you're somewhat ripe. Luann, would you read for us the entire paragraph 17 on page 660.
This is not in the text. It's in...
It is in the text. It's not in the workbook.
17 is on 660.
Well, turn to what page? Well, what's the number at the bottom of your page?
Way at the top. Never mind. Way at the
okay.
top. I wrote all over it. The world could teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you know not what you are.
Kenny, there's a time when images and clear edges and the perfect words leave. And you don't know what you are from images, from words, from definition. Luann, please continue.
It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of the self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is.
I hope you all picked that up when Kenny kind of surrendered to the obviousness that he couldn't say. He doesn't have the words. Concept of the self is laid by out of a sense of surrender. Not laziness or absent-mindedness or stupidity, but obviousness. Please continue.
When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter into its sanctuary. Clean and free of guilt. There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself.
If that's the first thing you read in A Course in Miracles, then I could accept you being fearful or like, whoa, this is not what I want to know what I am. Are you kidding? And here we are, 660 pages in, and I'm admitting that I don't know. I don't want this book. And yet, if you've come along to this page,
salvation born.
Yeah, you might be celebrating how light your heart is when you say these words, I do not know the thing I am. Oh, thank God, because the I who thought I knew caused me all sorts of trouble. It was wrong. At least it was limited. Didn't let my heart fly. So I do not know the thing I am, and therefore I do not know what I am doing as a human, as a body, as a father, as a son, as a brother, as a wife, as a whatever. You know, I really don't know. I got to loosen up. Open-mindedness, my friends. Where I am, same story, or how to look upon the world, or my wife, or my farm, or my business, or my et cetera. I don't know how to really actually look upon that with this big, solid opinion. You're lightening up.
Well, on myself.
Okay, Luann, finish it up.
Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself.
And what, not who. Yeah, page 660. You're ready for this. Capital W. What you are. You, an extension of God. You don't have a gender. You don't have a name. You can go occupy a gender. You can be fascinated with a name. Or a lifetime, if you wish, or many. But when you give up the ego concept of what you are, and gladly, then the beginning of learning, the salvation, is born. And what you are will tell you of itself. Don't you love that sentence? Do you see the tight circle? You get told what you are of what you are. Do you see how that works? Not from some other source, not something you have to discover or pay attention to or get the right language. No, it's for, beyond words. It's a knowing. And it gives you the ability to trust. Because when what you are tells you means communication, tells you of itself, something in you has a feeling of certainty, like I think what Kenny has. A little sense of certainty that goes beyond what words could describe. It's very peaceful. And it sure keeps you on the journey. Now there's no mountain too high.
Can I tell you what happened? I can just tell you what happened, and we can talk about it on Wednesday if we still need to. So I was reading Lesson 93.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to it, it's on the second page of it is on page 162. And the sentence was, the self you made, evil and full of sin, is meaningless. And I got a jolt because I wanted me to be, to have meaning now and forevermore.
Mm.
I felt like I really wanted who I am to be helpful to other people, even after I die. And then when I read that, I thought, oh my God, it's not going to happen.
Think of a character on the stage. You're watching a play. You're watching the movie Harry Potter. Everybody here seen Harry Potter?
Just one.
Everybody seen Harry Potter? Okay, so Hermione. Hermione just comes out of a class, and she's got this big stack of books. And she drops a book on her foot. It doesn't mean anything. You could take a story from there. She could say some magical word to have the book lift back off the floor onto the stack. But it's not real. See? That's why the Course is so certain. It can say things like this, and it can really give you a jolt, and I hope it did. But you stay it back a minute, ask your Holy Spirit to walk you through it.
Well, the rest of the lesson made me feel better, but I still notice I have a little bit of that. I really want to have a meaning in this world.
Yep. You really would like to have a meaning in this world that was meaningful and would connect you with love, and that somehow you could close a circle of love and atonement in the world in a body.
Feels like I ought to be able to do that.
It feels like you should. I mean, after all, it's all you want. And you're quite studied in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slippery slope. It's spiritual ego.
I know. I know that.
But it's a great inquiry, and the fact that you felt that is an opening for you to have your Holy Spirit. Don't drop it. Don't ignore it. Don't run from it. Feel it. Journal about it. Have your Holy Spirit chat you up. Sit with it. Go quiet and see what comes up. Because you've studied this course so many times. You know enough of the phrases in A Course in Miracles that the Holy Spirit will use those phrases that you've got preloaded and start to answer that question.
Okay. That's lovely. I'll start journaling between now and
then. And if it doesn't, text me. We'll set up a one-on-one. Okay. All right. So, this is the gap that you cross from knowing about the world to letting the world, the world as the ego has made it up, go, release it from being true. But you found a truth inside you that's beyond words now, that is stronger. It is more meaningful. This is a spiritual awakening.
I've experienced what Kenny said a number of times.
Good.
So I was so shocked when that hit my stomach. But it's still...
Yeah, never underestimate the ego.
Yeah.
However, the holy instant, your awakening, your recognition in the Holy Spirit, the right-minded thought, it does not require that you have no impure thoughts, like getting punched in the stomach about your identity as meaningless as Luann. It does not require that you don't have that thought or that you have that feeling. It does, however, require that you do not keep it. This is why I want you to stay with it and work it with your Holy Spirit and have a miracle occur in what was an ugly moment in your life. And so that this is an opportunity for you for sure. Okay, we're going to get to Tim's paragraph tonight. So first we're going to do a little warm-up by reading paragraphs 1 and 2, and then we will hit 3, and we will get Tim stirred up and make sure that we get a satisfaction.
Again? All right.
I gave you a week to cool off. I got to get heated back up again.
Are we going to the teacher's manual?
We're going to the teacher's manual, please. We're going to page...
What are the characteristics?
Page what?
Page 9. Page 9. The first attribute of a teacher of God. Remember, teacher is to demonstrate, it's not to pontificate, but to demonstrate and to know the things, that you're teaching are true. And be willing to express them, to abide as them, to manifest them in any language that you're called on. For child, adult, somebody who believe who doesn't believe in God, this is a different language. But if you're a teacher of God, which just means teacher of truth, doesn't believe there's love, maybe they're just so broken. And they've got a kid who died of cancer. Good. Look at the Lord. We have 5 children in our Course in Miracles. Between the two groups, we have 5 people who've lost children. Some, you know, just it's happened, and yet these people have said, "I will continue to carry the light. I will not carry this darkness. I will not teach this darkness to myself or to others." And these people have been an inspiration throughout the years. Thank you very much. Okay, so trust. Tim, would you read for us paragraph 1?
This is the foundation on which their ability to fulfill their function rests. Perception is the result of learning. In fact, perception is learning, because cause and effect are never separated. The teachers of God have trust in the world because they have learned it is not governed by the laws the world made up. It is governed by a power that is in them, but not of them. It is this power that keeps all things safe. It is through this power that the teachers of God look on a forgiven world.
God, fantastic. Kenny, do you want to try to read tonight? Sure. How's that?
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Give us paragraph 2.
When this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own pretty strength to get pity. Strength again.
Yeah, petty.
Petty.
This is, wow. You see that capital P on power?
Yeah.
Do you see this celebration that once you have experienced this beyond appearances, trust, your little worried mind that would try to make things better when things are actually, when you open your mind to the level of spirit, are better now. Always, but always. It's only every time that you steal your mind and you go to this level of trust that God is, love is. You are an extension of everything that is, therefore you cannot fail. This trust is really big. Okay, Kenny, give that sentence one more time and then keep rolling.
Okay. When this power was once, let's see, when this power has once been experienced, it is impossible to trust one's own petty strength again. Who would attempt to fly with tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And who would place his faith in the shabby offerings of the ego when the gifts of God are laid before him? This is it that induces them to make the shift.
What is it that induces them to make the shift from material, questionable, how about the word hope? From hoping to trust.
So the inner mind knows what gifts of God means.
Yes, Kenny. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. The inner mind is a gift of God in its being. It's self-supplying. That's the beauty of when you have these spiritual awakenings, is you find out that this strength that you've gained, it did not come from the outside. It didn't come from what something was said, even though you may have heard something or read something, but you said, oh, it touched you. It did not that thing had the power, but somehow it opened up something in you. You recognized it, recognized it. Yeah, it's beautiful. What induces them to make this shift? Yeah, well, probably because it's happy. Probably because it makes you happier. And probably because you get a sense of meaning. Probably because you get a higher sense of purpose in your life. Probably because you got really personal for a moment and you felt free. Even though you still have problems in the world. But when you had your little holy instant, when you let the miracle do its work and you stopped thinking dark thoughts and you suddenly felt a little lighter, that moment, you trust. You say, well, there is more to this than I thought. I'm going to continue, you say. The trust is born in you. It's living in you. And you would really like other people who are struggling to have a taste of it so they could walk out of their own darkness, wouldn't you? I hear this a lot. We just heard the last night of a kid. So, who was that? Somebody's kid. Was it you, Don? Yeah, I think it was Don. It was describing that he really, really wanted his daughter to not be in such pain over some circumstance that happened in her life. And he knew that it was Brian. And Brian's daughter. And Brian has worked the Course in Miracles for quite a while, and he knows the power of his mind. So he does not suffer for long. Because he knows that it's meaningless, the suffering. Sure, he has pains, but the suffering he just cuts off and says, you know what? I'm going back to trust. But he couldn't give it to his daughter. She really believed, she felt very guilty for what she had done. Very guilty. And it was giving her a guilty person's life. If you feel really guilty, you feel like you can't be loved. You don't deserve love. You know, horrible things come with guilt. That's the way. That's the way we build a nice isolation for the separate self. It's perfect. Guilt is perfect. Yeah. Okay, but we're on the way out, way out of guilt. So now, development of trust on page 10. Jacqueline, when you get there, I'll get your mute. Would you please read for us that paragraph 3?
Development of trust.
Mm-hmm.
First, they must go through what might be called a period of undoing. That's what we're doing.
That's it.
This need not be painful, but it usually is so experienced. It seems as if things are being taken away, and it is rarely understood initially that the lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he must see things in a different light? He is not yet at a point at which he can make the shift entirely internally. And so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seem to be external circumstances. These changes are always helpful. When the teacher of God has learned that much, he goes on to the second stage.
So you've been introduced to this freedom of mind, to this power of your mind. You've been introduced to it, but you still may have the gut-wrenching issues where internally you have not overcome the momentum of your ego's worry or your ego's self-worth or your ego's idea of goodness, freedom. So your gut can grab you and surprise you if things happen in life and you find yourself arguing your way out of it back as if you never studied A Course in Miracles because you're following the momentum of your gut. But your gut eventually follows along. Your ego is much like a muscle that you have developed over your whole life, and it's very strong and quick. And it's trusted. Anger is trusted. Fear is trusted. Guilt is trusted because, you know, that's the way the world works. You're learning to weaken that muscle. You're learning to deny that as a tool to make you happy. As crazy as it sounds, yes, I'm saying fear and guilt does not make you happy. Is that too obvious? Well, the Course says the truth is true, and that's the hardest lesson you're ever going to learn. Yes, Luann.
I feel like what you just said is why you told me to write about that thing in my stomach.
Yep.
Because I have been thrust into a whole new situation.
Mm-hmm.
I had a beautiful, easy life in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I'm in now is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not awful, but it's not as satisfying as the one I had in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, difference, a challenge.
A challenge.
Yep. But you know with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. You know that Luann might have reactions that are ugly. But Luann Christ, no problem. In fact, she would probably find the love that is behind the circumstance that seems so difficult.
I think I've already started doing that.
Good. Because that's how you welcome the miracle. And then it's a matter of forgiveness. You stop your stinking thinking. And then you will celebrate that horrible thing that has happened. And then off you go. It's done. Then you're done.
Oh, sure. Right. I don't feel like I'm anywhere near being done, but okay.
It's the power of forgiveness. Okay.
Sometimes I think the most hard thing to forgive is yourself.
Yeah, it's only yourself that there is to forgive.
Yeah.
It seems to be easy to forgive other people because they're not around. And you say, oh, okay, you know, I'm just not going to punish them. And you know what? I love them anyway. I want to love them. And so I'm just I can forgive them.
It's easy.
But you're there. Did you say something? Did you feel something? Did you do something? You have some habit of thought that you don't like. How are you going to forgive that? It just keeps popping up. Oh, yeah. But there's only you, because you made up the other person's opinion. You said you forgave somebody else. It's easier. I said it's easier to forgive somebody else, but you made up how they felt. If you sat them down and said, "I think this is how you feel," do you think they would agree with you?
No.
Perfectly?
Absolutely not.
Even if they did, they're not upset for the reason they think. If you go one layer deeper, you'll say, "Well, no, it's actually because." Oh, it's so freeing, these deep wake up that we get doing these early workbook lessons. It resets everything. Okay, so the teacher of God first goes through what might be called a period of undoing, and that's absolutely necessary, of course, because your ego has already done a whole thought system. Sin, guilt, fear, all these negative aspects that seem to be necessary when something bad happens. You sort through these ego filters. You have to undo all of that, because those apply to the character on the stage that is living, being a body. That is being a body. You've got to try putting on the identity that is not a body and just going through that openness and that spaciousness. So you have to undo all these habits. The Course in Miracles workbook, page 2, we won't go there for time tonight, because I think Tim would be really mad if we didn't get to his questions. But the workbook for students says, this is mind training and an undoing, not a doing. It's really well said. This need not be painful, but usually is so experienced because, you know, you're letting go of your habits, your comforts that are no longer serving you, the petty thoughts that you had, but you're used to having, and they're actually misleading. They're making you weaker. Maybe starting fights, right? You say the things you used to say and they start fights, or they make you want to fight. Those are the kind of things you just give up. You're choosing peace instead. So, yeah. There's some changes that could be kind of painful. Okay. It seems as though things are being taken away, and it's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. Okay, we just said that. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he must see things in a different light? Go to page, hold your finger here. And go into the text, page 499. See, there is a way. And what I like about this section is that it doesn't say, Shazam, you're there. It says, no, even though we're calling you a teacher of God, you struggle a little bit. Maybe a lot. I love it. It gives me a chance. Hey, that fits. You know, I'm sticking with the program, even though I may have faltered or had some weakness. Jacqueline, did you read yet? You did. Albert, would you, on page 499, good job, would you read for us paragraph 1? And Michaeline, you're up next.
Introduction?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The goal of specialness. Forget not that the motivation for this course is the attainment and the keeping of the state of peace.
Okay, pause for a moment, please.
I'm sorry, what?
Just take a pause and breathe that in. You've just been given the goal of A Course in Miracles. Many, many spiritual pursuits, including in this book, go beyond that. But this book teaches it's taking you to the starting place, not to the conclusion of your spiritual journey. This book is taking you to a state of peace, which is your natural state, were you to know what you actually are. You see, if you knew that you were a complete extension of God with creativity in tow and the will of God in tow, then what you are would teach you of itself anytime you even thought of faltering. You have the ability to manifest love, if that's what you're looking for. The ability to manifest peace, joy, freedom. The ability to extend truth. Wow! Not in a body, not in a world. But peace is required as a starting point. As we talked about last time, peace is the fertile soil from which everything you want grows. This is why Course in Miracles emphasis is on peace. You could choose peace instead of this. Really? If that's all you do, all you get from A Course in Miracles is the ability to step back and just choose peace, you'll derive the whole rest of everything. There's more in this book, of course. But really, this is the goal. The rest you'll do on your own. Okay, anyway, so it's this major statement. Please continue.
Given this state, the mind is quiet, and the condition in which God is remembered is attained. It is not necessary to tell God what to do. God will not fail. Where God can't enter, there God is already. And can it be God cannot enter where God wills to be? Peace will be yours because it is God's will. Can you believe a shadow can hold back the will that holds the universe secure? God does not wait upon illusions to let God be God's self, no more than his son, they are. And what illusion that idly seems to drift between them has the power to defeat what is their will?
Like some thought of jealousy or anger that pops in your head. You go, no, go back to your orientation of what you have learned that you actually are. And do not put up more barriers between you and love. Very good. Okay, Michaeline, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 2?
To learn this course requires willingness to question every value that you hold.
Okay, that is fighting words. But it's also instruction, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what to do. Please continue.
Not one can be hidden and obscure, but it will jeopardize your learning. No belief is neutral. Everyone has the power to dictate each decision you make. For a decision is a conclusion based on everything that you believe. It is the outcome of belief and follows it as surely as does suffering follow guilt and freedom, sinlessness. There is no substitute for peace. What God creates has no alternative. The truth arises from what he knows, and your decisions come from your beliefs as certainly as all creation rose in his mind because of what he knows.
Because of what he knows. Okay, pop quiz. What is the purpose of the course?
Peace.
Peace.
Attainment and the keeping of the state of peace.
A, the attainment.
And the keeping.
B, the keeping.
Oh, yeah.
Of peace. Yep. What a gift. How could you not want that? Of course. It's the antidote, especially when you're not peaceful. To go back to peace, to have some power, some tool. Hey, do you have some trick? Do you have a pill where I can just go back to peace right in the middle of my fret, my anger, whatever. This is what these lessons are. They are pills that you can just, mind pills, to give you a miracle, to shift you back to peace and go, oh, let me look at this again. Let me look at this again and see how this can bring peace. That's what Luann's going to do with her gut punch. She's going to say, wait a minute, I'm not letting this go. Let me look at this again and see how this can bring me more peace than I had before I got the gut punch.
And also, I just realized this place I'm living in now is perfect for me to find peace.
Good.
I no longer have a license. I don't have to worry with clients. I don't have anything I have to do in any one day. And if I can't find peace with those circumstances, I don't know who could.
Well, okay. That's not a bad approach there. Yep. Do it. Good.
I'm doing
it. Lead the way. You, any peaceful thought you have in your mind expresses to all other minds. You know, so nothing's wasted. Bring it.
The main thing is I know I don't have to do anything today or tomorrow. I can do it anytime. I have plenty of time to do it.
You're only one thought away from completion. So.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Oh, okay. So the goal is peace, folks. Whatever you do, lesson 30, I could choose peace instead of this. Boy, what a great day that is. When you do that all day long, choose peace instead of whatever pops up. Is it a new scratch in your car? Is it that the milk has gone sour, and what are you going to use for breakfast? Whatever it is, every level, every single level. And you just say, no, I'm choosing peace instead of this. Wow, the power of your mind is exposed. Love it. Okay, back to page 10 in the manual for teachers. Okay, that's good.
The development of trust, right?
Development of trust, you bet.
Now, quick question.
Yeah, you're up.
Why is this A, development of trust, A? There is no B. Roman numerals 1 through 10, you've got a 1A, there is no 1B, and B appears nowhere else.
I never noticed that.
Shall we blame Ken Wapnick?
Well, we got to blame somebody.
I think that the period might not be there. It's about a development of trust.
Oh. No.
the period is there.
A typo. A development of trust. You know, I'm going to have to go into the text and see if development of trust wasn't broken up into A, B, and C.
This section has given me such fits and starts over the years that I caught on to that a long time ago.
I never noticed. Cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's cool. And then it just goes on to the next section. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Well, Ertex might shed some light on that. I'll take a look and see what I find. Okay. Don't tell me that was your burning question.
No.
Was it this paragraph that evokes your burning question?
The deeper in we get, the more dissonance I get understanding the material.
Okay, good.
Start to get Roman numerals 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. Things start to contradict themselves.
Oh, good.
In my mind.
Good.
And the whole thing just dissolves into a pool of
good
morass.
You are calling for a miracle around this teaching, this section. A miracle is a shift in perception that allows you to understand the perspective of what's going on, a corrected perspective of what you seem to see.
Yes.
So that's what you're calling for. Good.
That's what I'm calling for.
I love it. You bet. It's coming your way. have miracles, we'll travel. Okay. All right. So let's roll on with Dawn. Dawn, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 4?
Next, the teacher of God must go through a period of sorting out. This is always somewhat difficult because, having learned that the changes in his life are always helpful, he must now decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it.
Isn't that a wonderful gift? Don, read that sentence again, because this is a how-to. This is a how-to from Jesus saying, you know, I've made it, and I'm writing you a book on how to do it, and this is what you're going to do. I know, because I have your mind. You have my mind. Go for it.
This is always somewhat difficult, because having learned that the changes in his life are always helpful, he must now decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it.
Wow. How could you possibly decide if something was helpful? Anybody any ideas on how you could determine if something in your life is helpful to your spiritual awakening? Okay, Luann, what do you got? Wait, I don't think you're muted. You're not muted, but you're quiet.
It brings you to peace.
There, that's it. You got it, gal. Gold star. You can judge. You can judge. The only thing you can't, the only thing you can judge on your own and instantly is how you feel. That is your guide, folks. I could show you the page where it says it, but I think you believe me. You, this one power that you have left, power to decide, and you can decide how you feel by observing. Do you feel peaceful or is it not peaceful? Wow, that sounds pretty binary, doesn't it? In fact, that sounds kind of simple. Am I more peaceful or less peaceful when I think of this thought, idea, whatever? What a gift. What a gift. Just remember to ask that question. What is this for? Is this for more peace or for less peace? That's all you have to know. And that's instant and personal and right where you are. You don't have to know the future. You don't have to know the outcome. What a deal. You've been given a how-to.
Does it increase my peace or not?
Yes, please continue. Good.
He will find that many, if not most, of the things he valued before will merely hinder his ability to transfer what he has learned to new situations as they arise. Because he has valued what is really valueless, he will not generalize the lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It is only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value can apply to nothing else. All things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful.
Thank you, Don. All things. Now, when A Course in Miracles uses these universal qualifiers like all, it means all. All. When it says never, it means never. When it says all, it means all. What about the bad stuff, Andrew? What about the bad stuff?
But how does that, going back to the sentence that said, you can decide all things on the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper. And it says, all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. Doesn't that seem contradictory?
Good question. I love it. You're digging in on that, and that is the teaching. Something that occurs to you that is not peaceful is now a sign, an arrow, an indicator of which way to go, isn't it?
that can be like the way I'm looking at something.
Yep.
If I'm looking at it and not feeling peaceful, that suggests that I have to let go of how I'm looking at it.
Especially if whatever it is inevitable. Lots of things that we get concerned about in our head, you can't change anyway. Yet you spend time stewing over it.
I'm thinking of interactions with my wife that there's one kind of behavior that consistently I react to, you know, like not feel peaceful about it. And that seems to be just her way of, in my point of view, not communicating, interfering with communication. But,
and your response to it brings you more peace or less peace?
Less peace.
Looks like you need to go the other way. Now it's valuable.
Yep.
In fact, it's a clear indicator. It's like a big sign that goes, Don, turn this way now.
In my case, it would have to be, oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Now,
but guess what? It's even easier than that. It's oops, reverse course. The Holy Spirit is 180 degrees. That's just right behind you.
U-turn.
It's a U-turn. A Holy Spirit, the path the Holy Spirit will counsel you after on something that the ego has judged or the ego has, you know, shown you, the Holy Spirit's conclusion will be the exact opposite of what the ego was thinking and doing. Not a little bit exact. It's a dismissal and an undoing of the ego thought system. The ego only exists to cleverly, and it worked, to block you from love. And it worked.
Could it be that it's almost like I've made this up about her, and I won't give up what I've made up about her until I give it up to the Holy Spirit?
Something like that. Let me also phrase it this way.
I have the idea that she will stop. I have the idea that once I give it up, I truly turn it back to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
She will stop doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get her to stop by turning around.
Yeah.
But I have the feeling that she will. Okay, go ahead.
You will stop suffering over it, and that's, you will have peace.
Yes. That's
the purpose of every choice you make from now on, Don, has been prescribed for you, and that is to choose peace. So you look at a situation, decide now, which way to peace? That's it. Who cares? What she doesn't matter as much as you being peaceful. Imagine you peaceful the whole day. Because you just keep choosing it. The arrows come, you duck, say, ooh, that was close, but I'm still peaceful.
Or, oops, I don't feel peaceful. U-turn.
And go with trust. Right back to peace. That's it, man. Sounds too simple, but that's why there's so many pages here.
That's what I need. Simple.
It's simple. Yeah. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Turn way up to the front of your book. There's just a fraction of a book there. It's page 24. 34. 34 in chapter 2. Look at how Jesus is teeing up the ball for what you're about to do with the Course in Miracles in paragraph 4. And Ross, if you would, I'll get your mute. A little tough with my left hand. Got it. Ross, would you read for us paragraph 4? In fact, Ross, would you read for us sentence 5 in paragraph 3 and on down through paragraph 4?
That start the last judgment?
That's it.
The last judgment might be called a process of right evaluation. It simply means that everyone will finally come to understand what is worthy and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
After this, the ability to choose can be directed rationally.
Mm-hmm.
Until this distinction is made, however, the vacillations between free and imprisoned will cannot but continue.
Good setup for purifying your mind. Please continue.
The first step toward freedom involves the sorting out of the false from the true. This is a process of separation in the constructive sense, and reflects the true meaning of the apocalypse. Everyone will ultimately look upon his own creations and choose to preserve only what is good, just as God himself looked upon what he had created and knew that it was good. At this point, the mind can begin to look with love on its own creations because of their worthiness. Same time, the mind will inevitably disown its miscreations, which, without belief, will no longer exist.
Thank you, Ross. This is what the mind looks like as it heals. It sloughs off the unreal, and it starts to love what is true. The undoing of all these silly ego beliefs. Okay, back to page 10 in the manual for teachers. Sentence 1, paragraph 4. Next, the teacher of God must go through a period of sorting out. It's always somewhat difficult. Because having learned that the changes in his life, well, they're always helpful. See, you've got open-minded, and you said, you know what? Bring it. Whatever troubles come, bring it, because I will find the miracle, and I will heal and become more peaceful thereby. What a good Course in Miracles student you are. You're like, bring it. Everything is for my good. And yet, you can be mired what would be the proper word? You're kind of chasing your tail. You're being a martyr. You're over-learning, over-practicing, and not letting go. I keep bringing up poor Mother Teresa, but she just knew how to do one thing really well. That woman was so, she could just go to people and give them peace. Yes, Michaeline.
I would add overthinking to that.
Overthinking. Yes, right. Not believing that you actually accept peace or that you could actually be already extension of God, despite your thoughts. Even though you have ugly thoughts, does it matter? Why? Because lesson 3, nothing I'm thinking. These thoughts don't mean anything. Then I'm not going to worry about them. Oh, what a great day. What a great day. These thoughts don't mean anything. Thank you, Michaeline. And must now decide that all things in the basis of whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it. Hang on a second. We can skip that for now. Go to text page 19. We have just enough time to read this. Even earlier in the book, he's already talking about these these attributes, these changes of mind that will heal the very way that you appear to be existing. Just look at paragraph 3 and just a couple sentences in there. I'll read it for interest of time. It's paragraph 3 on page 19. You can defend truth as well as error. The means are easier to understand after the value of the goal is firmly established. It's a question of what is it for? What is this word, thought, sentence, rumination, whatever, for? And if it's not for something that brings you more peace, you know what to do. Everyone defends his treasure and will do so automatically. Key word there, right? It's a reference to the Bible. Where your treasure is, so also will your heart be. If your treasure is money, if your treasure is family, if your treasure is the world in any way, of course, naturally, your heart will be there because you think that's what will make you happy. That's not a sin. That's fine. In fact, it's kind of fun trying to make that work out. But like we read earlier, once you touch the power of spirit, who would choose the wings of a sparrow over that of an eagle? I mean, it's just too small. The world becomes too small, and it's not enough. It's way too limited for a son of God. And you feel it. You can't say it because it would sound really weird, but you feel this lightness of being as you go beyond your body with your thoughts. It's like, wow, where does this lead? So your treasure changes is what I'm trying to say. The thing that you value the most changes. Okay. The real questions are, what do you treasure? And how much do you treasure it? Once you've learned to consider these questions and to bring them, this discernment into all your actions, you will have little difficulty in clarifying the means. So isn't that a sorting out? Isn't that a sorting out of the valuable and the valueless? Just like you were being told at the very end of the book, isn't that a sorting out that you would make, and you'd make it gladly? In fact, you'd say, bring it on. What else that's not peaceful in my life can I let go? What a nice prayer. Okay, we have run out of time. We've done pretty good on these paragraphs.
We're still only two sentences into paragraph 4 under subsection A, and we've got a hanging issue yet to be dealt with. At least that's how I see it.
Oh, bring it. What's the issue?
The issue is that initially we're being told to look for things on the basis of whether they bring us an increase of peace or a decrease in peace.
Oh, right.
That's the acid test, to keep bringing it back to that. However, in the paragraph 4, we say we go through a period of sorting out, quote unquote. Yep. This is somewhat difficult because changes in life are always helpful, and we have to make our choices based on whether they increase the helpfulness or hamper it. But yet, simply going and saying, does this make me more peaceful or not, isn't something that you can always do prima facie, right up front. I did thought that I wanted to be a doctor, and therefore I went to medical school. In my fourth year, I discovered that being a doctor and that lifestyle wasn't what was going to make me happy. Believe me, there was not a state of peace associated with that decision. And yet, it was a difficult one that led to something correct. Mm-hmm. All right, so the two don't always play nicely together. They don't go hand in glove.
Let me remind you that the ego's idea of peace and happiness and the Holy Spirit's idea of peace and happiness are different. Let me remind you why. Because you get to a point where you would like the truth no matter what. You would like to know the truth. You would like to know what you have denied because what you've been denying is the truth. You've been running into walls and bruising yourself enough trying to work it as a body, as a man. And you've decided, you know what, that promise of perfection that the ego's been laying out, I don't believe it anymore. I want more. So the idea of peace for the ego would be a doctor with a big client list and, you know, never makes mistakes, never been sued, and are great. The big house on the hill, and the doctor paid for everything. That education really paid off. Good for you, Tim. This is the doctor would love that. All these patients call, and it happens. You know what happens. You change lives as a doctor. I mean, it's a really, really powerful power trip. Both my parents are doctors, and I got great stories. It changes. Amazing things happen. But that promise of perfection, my dad died an alcoholic. It didn't quite work out, even though people call him up year after year and say, you saved my father, and now you're saving me, because he's still here. Heart surgeon. So the promise of perfection to the ego is not the same peace as the Holy Spirit. How's it different? It's different because your Holy Spirit is interested in the next truth that embraces everything you see. It's so much more interesting than the current truth that can be boxed and analyzed and say, yeah, I can repeat that. Just get a patient who has the illness that I've been trained for, and I can charge them and make them better. They win, I win. Peace. Happiness. Yeah, Michaeline.
The other thing is the paragraph I read about belief, and we have this narrative of belief that in our ego that's so subtle that I think for me the challenges that present themselves present a contrast to the point where I become aware that it is a contrast and that it is pointing me to the other direction, whatever that might be. And my belief in whichever, you know, my belief is what gets in the way.
Yes.
The belief has to fall away, fall apart. And that is, I think, the where it said in the beginning, the trial, the challenge or the trial.
Yeah, would you use this belief for more peace? Or is this belief using you to take peace away?
Yeah, but the challenge puts the belief in front so I can see the belief.
You have to look at it.
I have to see it. It's like you can't fix a hole in the wall if you don't see it, right?
That a girl. You have to look at it. Absolutely right. So. Absolutely right. You made it. You love it. It's something that you own. And as I have become fond of saying these last couple of years, the only problem you really have is that you know something with your heart and soul that's not true.
Yeah.
Yep. Purifying of your mind is what we're doing. Well, by all means, read through that paragraph. If you have questions next week, let's hit them, because we're going to go on to paragraph, I guess, 5 it's going to be next week. Thank you, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you.
We're digging in. Thank you for all your stories. Good to see you, Michaeline.
Good to see you all again.
Thanks for working it with me.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.